This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS. It is Thursday, and the rain system has moved past us now here in Lansing, so we are we're cloudy for the moment, nicer than it was 30 minutes ago. It is 83 tonight, a low of 63, and then tomorrow thunderstorms will continue, a high of 71 with a low of 56. You know, you hear it all the time. These experts look into the future. They say by within 30 years or so, we'll have an unemployment rate of 50% because of robotics. Well, my next guest says, don't be afraid. Instead of fearing the future, we should lean into it and prepare. Peter Morici is with us, economist and business professor at the University of Maryland, a national columnist who tweets all the time. You got to follow him on Twitter. It's at PMorici1, at PMorici1. Peter, great to have you on WILS.
Right. It's just starting to storm here in Virginia, so I take it you have sent me your bad weather.
It's on the way there, yeah.
Are you sure you're not a Democrat?
No, never.
Never occurred to you. That's what Democrats do. They send other people their problems. In any case, I wouldn't worry about the future when it comes to automation and things like that. It's as ancient as the wheel. I mean, by the way, the big shot was not the guy with the wheel. It was the guy with the axle. That did it. You know, if you had the axle with the wheel, then really that made some sense. And it replaced sleds. And all of a sudden you could move goods around better. Well, you know, the people that hauled the goods had more free time. So what did they do? They did more hunting and fishing, you know, and the other things that cavemen did. And they became more productive.
Okay,
and
well,
eventually, with that time that they had on their hands, they invented the horse harness, and they tamed horses and learned how to pull the wagons and all that, and things got better.
With each succession. But the concern is, Peter, that with AI, it's going to be able to do so much that we literally won't have anything to do, and many of us will be basically sitting at home with nothing to do.
No. The only reason people are sitting at home right now is because of the entitlement state established by the Democrats. I mean, we have a lot of people in rural areas who don't have jobs, who used to work in factories, who can't move to cities, because in the cities, land use regulations, licensing requirements for basic occupations like barbering and so forth didn't exist, you know, 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. And now it's becoming very difficult to move between states, and rents are really high.
Mm-hmm.
And what's more, they're tied down by their welfare programs. You know, they got rent subsidies and things like that. And if they move to the city, they'll lose them simply because a lot of that stuff is location specific. The reality is, think about farming. Just think about farming. In the beginning, when the Iranians started cultivating wheat, you know, and the ancient Phoenicians and all that business, it wasn't Phoenicians, whoever it was, you know, in the Tigris Valley and so forth, you know, it was really very, very basic. They would pull a stick and cultivate the land very basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody came along with the steel plow, the iron plow, really, and the horse harness. And all of a sudden, productivity went up. More recently, we had, you know, things like the steam-driven tractor in the 19th century and the combine and the tiller. You know, and all of a sudden, a farmer that used to do 40 acres with a mule could do 400 acres with a tractor.
Okay.
Well, he feeds more people. There are fewer farmers, but we still have farmers.
Right. A lot fewer, right? I mean, it's a...
Yeah, a lot fewer.
Yeah.
So what did they do? They went to the cities and they went to work in factories.
And now those are gone, right? So now
what are they doing? The kids are becoming software engineers and things like that and inventing artificial intelligence. But the reality is that artificial intelligence, computers, are only as good as the information we put into them. They basically speed up processes of people that work the desks. It's kind of like spreadsheets. You know, spreadsheets eliminated a lot of bookkeepers and basically accounting clerks.
Mm-hmm.
But they created all kinds of jobs because they created all kinds of new and interesting things we could do, for example, in the area of financial analysis. My feeling is that we'll always find new things for people to do, and we'll always find new services for people to provide.
Right.
But the real danger is the Luddites. The people that are good at making money off the government trough, like, say, Elon Musk. And Elon Musk, everybody thinks he's a wizard. Well, we'll see what happens when his subsidies run out on Tesla.
Yeah. Oh, is that what's running Tesla right now, the subsidies?
Yeah, Tesla gets a big subsidy on every car sold, but there's a limit. Once you get up to 250,000 cars per car maker, okay, you lose your subsidy. So and sometime next year, he won't have a subsidy. He's losing their money now. Wait till he's going to have to submit. But anyway, he's basically a big government guy. And his solution is we need to regulate artificial intelligence. That's crazy. I mean, that's like the candle maker saying, let's paint the windows black so people will need more of our product. Mm-hmm. Or let's make electric lights illegal so people will need more kerosene lamps.
Okay. So you don't see any downside at all? Because, I mean, part of the...
Oh, yeah. People are going to have to adjust and learn new skills.
But it seems like they're not doing it now. Like, right now, we have all these jobs available if you go online. And many of them just can't be filled because the skills aren't there.
Well, I was going to get to that. The biggest problem are the schools and the universities. The universities are still taking honor students in, and in their first year, say, well, I don't know what I want to do with myself. Okay, we'll give you a course in political activism. You know, they're not. It used to be that a state university was where a young man went to learn to be an engineer and then did a tour of duty in the Army. They were military academies.
Uh-huh.
Like the old-fashioned West Point. Everybody at the old West Point was an engineer. And everybody at the old West Point then did a tour of duty and then went off into civilian life with a great technical education. The same thing with places like Texas A&M, Virginia Tech, and so forth.
Okay.
These days, universities teach us to solve social problems that don't exist.
Like
hate white males, you know, things of that
nature. What about, like, is a communications degree? Does that get you anywhere in your view?
Well, it depends. There's a lot of different kinds of communications degrees. If you want to, if you focus on print journalism, not very good, because what's happening is that Google is cannibalizing small-town papers. I mean, basically, everybody's going to read the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, and that's it. It's getting very hard to keep operations like the LA Times afloat.
Yeah.
But if you are on the technical side of journalism, behind the camera, you know, you do pretty well.
There's something there.
Would
you recommend going into economics nowadays? Is there
no, I don't think economics is the place to be. Economics is for people who want to, you know, be wrong. How many times have economists been wrong? I mean, we have one of our leading economists at Northwestern University running around, Gordon, telling everybody the world is coming to an end because of artificial intelligence, and we can't grow anymore. We can't grow. Growth is over. Well, Jesus, the Chinese are growing at 7% a year. It isn't that growth is impossible. It's that the Democrats have made it impossible in America.
Mm-hmm.
Because, after all, if you're paying people to be indolent, I mean, look at the health care debate. Look at how the whole health care debate centered on paying people not to work. The Medicaid thing was what held up health care reform. And poor Mr. McConnell kept putting more and more money in the bill. It wasn't to give Medicaid to people that really need it. They got that before Obamacare. The people who were disabled, young children in poor families, the mothers of young children who were caring for them, they got Medicaid. Medicaid reform was about giving it to low-income people, but in particular, men that don't want to work, that want to basically sit at home, you know, eat Slim Jims, pass gas, and watch ESPN.
So why do you think Republicans couldn't get themselves to shut it down?
Well, actually, 47 or so of them could, but or been more like 42. And there were about 10 that came from states with heavy welfare clientele, places like Kentucky, West Virginia, Alaska, and Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, three senators, and if you only have 52 votes, and you lose three senators, you're up the creek. But in the end, no amount of extra money would satisfy Murkowski, Caputo, and Collins from West Virginia, Alaska, and Maine. I mean, you got to go to Maine. I taught at the University of Maine for 5 years. The University of Maine, the state of Maine, is totally premised on how do we get other people to come up here in July and August and tax the heck out of them, because we Mainers are poor and the rest of the country should support us. And she comes down with those values, and whenever it matters, she voted to release Obamacare from the filibuster so it would pass, and she's voted against every attempt to repeal it.
Right.
Says she's a Republican. You know what she is? She's a wolf in sheep's clothing, because she keeps poor people poor so she can enjoy the luxury of being a senator.
I should know, Peter, we have a Republican governor here, Rick Snyder, and he supported the Medicaid expansion and still does now.
Look at the trough of voters you have in northern Maine, northern Michigan, and in and around Detroit. That's why. Mm-hmm. That's why.
Yeah,
it's not so much supporting the expansion. The government passes this law, do you take it or not? It's opposing rolling it back. Yeah. Medicaid is keeping people from going to work.
Mm-hmm. Now, those that see it as a cruelty issue, right? You know, it's cruel to leave these people out there without this kind of support and protection.
Why should we think it's cruel when someone refuses to look for work, refuses to relocate? Why is that cruel? Why should I work so someone else should not? So they could sit at home, become obese, and get diabetes.
Well, that's a good
point. You want to go to the emergency room in some of these hard-hit communities where unemployment is very high and look at the physical conditions of 35 and 40-year-olds. That's what indolence does to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you had a dog and you kept it indoors all day and you fed it, never gave it any exercise except for what it had to do its business outside, it would get pretty fat.
Hmm.
Right?
Indeed, yeah.
That's what you got in those places.
Right. And you actually, you keep your weight under control. What's your secret, Peter?
You see me on TV. I'm a cyclist. I mean, let's face it, I live a privileged life. But I grew up in working class. I grew up in a situation like Scaramucci on Long Island,
mm-hmm.
in a working class neighborhood, you know, with chain link fences and construction trucks in the front yard and stuff like that. I grew up in a blue collar neighborhood. We had kids dropping out of high school at 16 and things like that.
So how did you avoid that?
Well, I had grandmothers who were very, very dedicated to advancement and education and so forth. And they were a substantial inspiration to me. They were both immigrants, but especially my mother's mother was really a sharp cookie. And you know, I went to New York State public schools, which are very fine public schools, as are the public schools in Michigan. Very fine public schools in Michigan. And then I took advantage of the state university system. I went to a little state college, Plattsburgh State, because it had a great attribute. Mm-hmm. It was free. It was absolutely free. The economics professor spotted me after a couple of weeks and said, "How would you like to be a professor?" It was funny. Warren Dixon, my freshman professor, walks up to me after class and said, "Peter, have you thought about your future?" I'm 17 years old. I'm a guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, "My future?" I said, "It's only Monday, Professor Dixon. I haven't figured out what I'm going to do on Saturday night." And he said, "Well, would you like to be a professor?" I said, "You're out of your mind." He says, "No." I says, "If you want to be an economics professor, and you are saying things you shouldn't say, okay, be saying at 17, then we can arrange it that it won't cost you anything."
Right.
And they kept their word, and they helped me get a fellowship to graduate school. The grant was in the state university, and I got very, very good training, and that's how it happened.
Wow.
And I worked hard,
right.
But I also had a lot of fun.
Right.
I mean, I was in a college fraternity and played sports.
It had fun.
I mean, it wasn't like I studied all the time.
But I did do my work.
Yeah, I always did my work.
The work ethic, I'm sure, was key. It's Peter Morici, economist, business professor at the University of Maryland, and a national columnist. And follow him on Twitter. That's something you need to do. It's at PMorici1.
The other thing is,
yeah,
watch your grandma. She knows.
There you go.
Pay attention to your grandma. She's probably the smartest person in your life. Experienced and probably very smart.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't be where you are.
Peter Morici here on WILS. Thank you, Peter.
Take care.
Yep.